In today's gospel lesson, we'll hear Jesus tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Familiar now, but revolutionary then. Jesus tells the story in the context of a discussion about the law, and the discussion about the law comes in the context of Jesus' fateful journey toward Jerusalem and his death. Jesus dared to ask people to truly fulfill the law of Moses, and that is one of the things that got him in so much trouble. To prepare us for that lesson, the church selects from the Hebrew scriptures a description of the law that captures its greatness. Reading from Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 to 14. Listen for God's word. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings. In the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. So ends the reading.
So 2 weeks ago, we heard that people of a Samaritan village had refused to receive Jesus. Last week, we heard Jesus sending out the 70 to heal the sick and proclaim the reign of God. When they got back, Jesus offered a prayer of thanks that God had shown them what was hidden from political and religious leaders. At that very moment, the occasion of today's gospel reading, a religious leader addresses Jesus. Reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, listen again for God's word.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?"
He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live."
But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
Well, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?"
He said, "The one who showed him mercy."
Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gordon. So, folks, I know I promised there wouldn't be a sermon today because we'll be, in a moment, filling out the congregational survey instead. But we are Presbyterians, so before we adjourn to the Carnegie Library and get down to business, I do need to say just a few words about our gospel text. Or rather, I'm going to share a few words spoken by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who in the speech delivered on the day before his death reflected on the parable that we just heard Jesus tell. Dr. King said, "I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. As soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, 'I can see why Jesus used this as the setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. It's a dangerous road.' In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. And you know, it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking, and he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to lure them there for quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But then the Good Samaritan came by and he reversed the question. 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?' There's so much that is frightening in our world. Growing disparity between those who have way too much and those who have not just money, but dignity and possibility and hope. Children incarcerated and abused and marginalized. Older folks isolated and alone. Unequivocal scientific evidence of harmful climate change ignored. But in a moment, we'll troop into the next room. We will sit down and answer questions about who we are and what we think about this church, because we're wondering, as a church, what will happen to us? But of course, we won't be able to fully answer that question till we can answer the other question. What will happen to our neighbors if we don't stop to help them? Sometimes, like the priest and the Levite, we are, I don't know, too busy, too distracted, too exhausted, too overwhelmed, too fearful to stop and help. But God is with us. God opened the heart of the Samaritan, who then saw past fear and difference and tradition and expectation, and found that to be a neighbor is to show compassion. To be a neighbor is to look upon others, even our enemies, with the eyes of Christ. So, you can gather up your belongings and grab a hymnal if you can, and let's head into the Carnegie Library, where we will put down in pen and ink who we are, so that we can remember whose we are, so that we can be better neighbors. For we all belong to God. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let's go.